Sunshine, 96.7 FM, WMTB LP, St. Petersburg. Radio St. Pete, where local music lives.
Hello, St. Petersburg! Hello, Tampa Bay! How we doing, beaches? Happy Friday, Radio St. Pete. This is the Marco Radio Happy Hour Show, and we are up next.
Hey, I'm Damon Fowler, and nothing gives me the blues more than listening to the Marco Radio Happy Hour Show.
Okay, happy Friday, folks. It's December 27th. My name is Mark, and this is the Marco Radio Happy Hour Show.
Show.
Mm-hmm. You got a little double duty or a double dose of...
double dipping.
Hit it green teeth there. I looked away from my computer for a second. I turned back around, and I went to reach for my mouse, and I slapped that mouse too hard, and it started the song over. So anyway, sorry about that. So it is December 27th. This is the Marco Radio Happy Hour Show, and this is our final show of 2024.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
What a year it's been.
Well, we're gonna get into it. It's been a weird year. Anyway. We are coming to you live as we do every Friday evening, 6 to 8 p.m. from our Ginzo Garb Treehouse Studio, located in the historic Jungle Prada neighborhood of St. Petersburg, Florida. You find folks are checking us out on either Radio St. Pete Online or on Sunshine, 96.7 FM Radio St. Pete, where local music lives.
Lives.
Lives. So in the studio this evening for our final show, we have, across the table from me is my blushing bride, as always. She's the glue. She's the anchor. She's the one that puts us on air.
Yes.
Couldn't do it without her. To her right and to my left is our boy, Ty Ginn. And then across the table from him is me, little old Marco Radio.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So that's who we are.
Going out with just us.
Right. So this being our final show of the year, do we feel nostalgic or anything like that? I mean, I feel like, what is this? How many years have we been doing this show? It seems like we've been doing it for like 10 years.
We're getting close.
It's got to be close. And one of the things I was thinking about earlier today is of all of the shows that we do the show once a week. So how many weeks?
52
weeks in a year. Okay. And probably, I was trying to think about it today. I think that probably we have missed maybe 5 shows this year. I know just recently we missed 2. And then prior to that, we were asked to not do a show because of some of Steph's offensive comments the week before.
Potty language.
Yeah.
That's not true.
They had
a special event that they wanted to air. but then I was trying to think when we had dipped prior to that, and if we had dipped, we've not done shows 5 times this
maybe.
Year.
Yeah, we did well this year.
Yeah,
as far as keeping our conflicts to a minimum.
Yeah, you'd think so. Yeah, right.
You know, but that's life happens. Mm-hmm. And in the 10 years or close to 10 years right. we've been doing this.
Didn't we start in like November? Wasn't it November when we started?
Yeah, November. But I'm thinking it was 14. Was it 14 or 15?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
So maybe we're at 9 years, and maybe this coming year will be 10 years.
10 years. Yeah. But, you know, when we first started airing on right. Radio St. Pete, we would record right. on, you know, say Wednesday,
I think we were doing, at one point, I think we were doing Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, an hour each. Me and Hannah were.
On Spreaker.
Spreaker, right.
And then when we went to Radio St. Pete.
Then when we got hooked up with Joe B. and Radio St. Pete, right.
Then we just did the once a week, but we pre-recorded the hour.
Right.
So if we had conflicts, we could move around. Mm-hmm. So we probably didn't miss any that first year.
No.
But then once we went live,
right.
that's where, you know, probably at least 5 shows a year.
Yeah.
We couldn't do.
Just sometimes, you know, things happen.
Right.
You know.
And, you know, we do our best.
We never missed a show because we wanted to.
Right. We do our best that if we know, say we're going to be out of town or, you know, we have some other large conflict. Mm-hmm. Ty has a big show.
Right.
Then we've done our best to pre-record so that at least we can still air. Mm. But
I remember early on I said I think we were going to miss a show. And I know from me listening to talk radio all the time, when the shows that I listen to aren't able to do their show, they'll do a best of show.
Right.
And I remember one time I said to Joe B, I was like, well, maybe you just play like a best of show. And he was like, well, you got to have one.
Dang.
And maybe I should
have one.
Maybe, you know, okay. So I'm sure at some point in this show, we're going to talk about New Year's resolutions.
Yeah, that's coming up.
I think I should get a notebook that I can just jot down.
You're kind of indicating that you might have a New Year's resolution. Ty made sort of an indication over there that he might have something. I have not thought of one.
Well, this one just came to me.
Came to you.
It's not like I've been pondering it.
Right. Because I know in the past, come this day on the show, it's been like, okay, what's everybody's New Year's resolution, and nobody has anything.
Right.
And nobody wants to tell their secrets.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, okay, so here's what I'm going to do.
Okay.
I'm going to try. I'm going to get a notebook.
I mean, we are literally 5 days away from New Year's Day, from 2025.
So starting with our next show... Mm-hmm. First show of next year.
Right.
I'm going to write down the date and if there's something good, funny segment.
Yeah.
I'm going to jot it down and I'll start building
an archive.
A best of show.
Right.
Best of clips.
Yeah. Well, so I would like to, I think
we can air that.
I think we've gotten to the point now where we need to be a little bit more. Technically advanced.
It's been almost 10 years.
Yeah. But I mean, we should be able to pull out. Who has the time for it, though?
Who has the time to go back through?
Right. It's like to pull out the clip of the day or the clip of the show. You
but
know
that's
what I mean?
Why it's like I need to do it immediately during the show.
Right. Mark it.
And then when I, you know, do cut up the show for the archive. Mm-hmm. Find that piece and put it in its own file to start building.
Anyway, so I did not mention yet that if you want to play along this evening, you certainly can, just like you can any other show. We have a really cool number. The number is 727-804-5891. And the cool thing about that is that you can call in and have your voice live on air, or you can also text that number. And we will respond to you directly.
And I believe if you're calling from an iPhone, you can actually, it's more
you can do
of
a
like
FaceTime,
a FaceTime
if,
call.
If you want to.
So not only can Mark see you, but you can see him.
Right, which is always,
always
great.
Right, right.
always a joy.
You can't see the rest of us, though.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so here
Mama's kind of a train wreck right now.
Right. Here we are. 2025 is five days away. And truly, the anticipation is killing me. Mm. Will Donnie buy Greenland and the Panama Canal?
They offered to buy us.
Well,
I'm all for it.
Will Canada become the 51st state?
It's awfully big.
Will Tim Homan get some work done so his face doesn't look like a foot?
Noman.
Is it Noman? I thought it was Homan.
Homan.
I think it's Homan. Homan, Noman.
No, if he gets any work done, then it'll look like Matt Gaetz.
Something. That would take a lot of work. They need to use a chainsaw. Will grocery prices go down? Will gas prices go down?
Well, gas prices have gone up like 30 cents in the last week.
Up?
Up. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Nobody talks about it.
Yeah.
Well. Yeah. Whatever, that's just what we do. Sometimes it's this, and sometimes it's that. And I guess it's okay.
Will the immigrants actually be rounded up? And if so, will Bubba and the boys finally get to realize their dreams of working in the fields on hot roofs and on road crews?
Yeah.
I hope so.
God, and Bubba, I hope so, too.
In steamy kitchens.
I hope so, too.
You wanted this.
You asked for it. Mm-hmm. And then I wrote down, does anybody have a resolution that they'd like to discuss? So here we are.
Here we are.
We sort of preempted it, but now we're like right on track.
Was that the weave?
That was the weave. I did the weave. I did the Trump weave and sort of started talking about nonsense. And we mentioned it. Mom mentioned it. I weaved around a little bit, and now we're right back at the point.
It.
So if anybody has New Year's resolution that they'd like to discuss, let's do it now. If you want to share your New Year's resolution with us and you want to,
encourage others
put it
to
on
maybe,
air, yeah,
and maybe join in. You know, look, a lot of things that people make New Year's resolutions about, quitting smoking or having a better exercise routine. Studies have shown that if you have a support group, it helps.
Right.
You know, somebody that you can call and say, oh, I don't want to go to the gym today, that will say, hey, come on.
Well, we're going to kind of get into that because that's kind of a commercial that I've been seeing over the holidays. And it has to do with this whole Gemini thing. And I want to get into that a little bit later. But I get what you're saying. Some of us need that support system. And if you give us a call this evening and share your resolution with us, 727-804-5891, we may be the ones that actually give you that support.
Right. You know,
we're going to be cheering you on.
Congratulations.
We lift and separate.
You know,
we lift and separate.
Well, you know, no, I mean, it could be even just a little thing of if you want to walk so many steps a day or in a week that you can text in either during the show or before the show, you know, oh, hey, I met my goal.
That's right.
And we can congratulate you on air for your successes.
We'll never do birthday shout-outs unless you're famous. But if you want to text in your steps for the week, we'll certainly shout that out so everybody knows your progress.
Right.
Feeling kind of light.
You know,
Where's the rest?
You need whenever you need that encouragement.
That ain't stepping. You call that stepping? Now run up the stairs five times to make up for the lack of steps.
Right.
I want 100 Nazi scalps.
Two steps at a time.
We'll have you here at the house. We're going to take your cell phone, and you need to find it.
Yeah. We're going to hide your cell phone.
Hide your cell phone. Yeah. We'll get your steps up.
Well, do you guys have resolutions?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, come on, now's the time.
Well, I said I want to,
right.
you know, do the show so that we do have a best of
mm-hmm.
without having to go back and listen through, you know, 800 hours of shows past.
Yeah.
Although that would be fun.
I think for me, I want to use my time more wisely, and I want to not only, you know, make some changes for the show to make it more exciting, more interesting. You know, maybe look at getting some guests.
Being more proactive.
But then I also want to learn what you're doing over there. I mean, 10 years in, I have no idea what you do over
clue.
There.
Yeah.
Zero. I don't even know how to turn on your computer. I mean, it's a problem. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a problem.
I mean, maybe next year I have both computers over here.
Oh.
How about that?
How about that?
I mean, I don't know that that's realistic, but I do need to know what you're doing over there.
Okay.
Because it seems shady. What about you, Tygan?
Survive.
Just survive?
Well, 2025
is going
to
be. Yeah, 2025 is going to be one of those years where it's going to be hit or miss, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's going to be. I mean, do you have any idea what's going to happen after the 6th? Or is it the 20th?
Oh, yeah. 20th.
I mean, it's going to get real. It's going to get real. It's already gotten kind of real, and it's already been ridiculous already.
Right.
And it's like, are these really things that you're thinking about implementing for the country? And you know what I mean? It's like, is this where we're going? Is this what you voted for?
Is this realistic?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, anyway. Look, I want to win the Mega Millions tonight.
Me too.
But
that would help.
Is that the end of the day? Is that realistic?
That's my resolution. I want to win the Mega Millions this year.
We could fix a lot of problems.
Oh, yeah. A lot of our problems.
Our problems.
I'd be very good if I won.
My wish for you, Ty, in 2025 is to just jump on that springboard and fly.
Yeah.
This is your chance.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Getting any younger.
Nope.
It's time to fly.
I'm ready to launch you out of the cannon.
Yeah. So
spread your wings and fly.
Anyway, Christmas was 2 days ago. Hope everybody had a holly jolly. Sort of came and went this year.
Bah humbug.
I don't feel like I was overly busy. But I don't remember much of a buildup for this year's Christmas.
We got bigger things to worry about.
Yeah.
Well, that's
true. We're going to war with Hitler again.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, there were a lot of distractions this year.
Yeah, he's gathering up his troops, that's for sure.
I also think, little things, like online shopping.
Yeah.
It's very mechanical, if you will.
Mm.
It's different than when you would go to the mall and they've got the music playing and all the lights and colors.
We mention like last week that Cyber Monday would, I mean, set a record of like $13 billion or some crazy amount.
But in my mind, online shopping, look, I love it. I'm not going to deny that.
Mm.
But you lose a lot of just the warm fuzzies of Christmas and
selection of stuff wasn't even that good this year. Like walking around at like Target, it's like,
yeah, because everybody's shopping online.
Well, I mean, they've been talking about for years that the big box stores are probably going to go away because of, Amazon and things like that. And guess what? If they come out with like another Amazon to compete with Amazon, you know, something that could compete, then the box stores will go completely away.
Right.
You will never have to leave the house. And what concerns me with that is, I mean, where are we going as a society? where now all of a sudden we won't have to leave the house at all.
But they don't want you to.
No,
they don't. No, they want you to work 24/7.
Yeah,
and right. be at the beck and call.
Yeah.
You know, I remember as a kid, Lazarus Department
Store.
Sure,
going to the mall during the holidays was a gas.
Lazarus Department Store, 6 floors, the whole 6th floor, they would turn into a Christmas village.
Santa's Village up there. Santa's the whole village, place was decorated.
Decorated.
Everything.
They had toys, but they also had like the little tents. Mm-hmm. I don't know what else to call them. Where, you know, like your parents would give you $5 or $10 and you could go into the tent and buy gifts for your parents and wrap them inside.
Mm-hmm.
Debbie just texted this, Steph Miss Lazarus.
Oh, do I miss Lazarus? I do. And the one year that my brother, I was a teenager, I was in high school. And my brother was the talking tree.
Oh, I thought you were going to say incarcerated.
No. You know, so they had
that was next year
within Santa's Village. You know, they had Santa and they had animatronics and all of that, but they had the talking tree.
And your brother was the talking tree.
And my brother was the talking tree, and I went to Lazarus by myself.
Walk there.
No, I drove because I could drive then. Either that or I took the bus.
Probably,
I drove.
Probably Debbie took you.
So I'm sitting with all the little kids in front of the talking tree.
Yeah.
And they are just, you know, glued
and because,
enamored.
And because your brother's in the talking tree, you and the tree got in an argument?
No.
A sibling rivalry?
No, but we did interact, you know, on a more right. personal level, and I'm like, you know, finding out the kids' names and they were blown out of their minds when he started, you know, when he talked to me, you know, directly. And what do you think? And I mean, these little kids were like wetting their pants. It was awesome.
Debbie just texted, Secret Santa, 6th floor, Mr. Tree and Scott took Matt and Katie, and he spoke to them.
Mm-hmm.
So, Christmas magic.
I mean, it truly, it just, mm-hmm. But all that's gone.
Mm-hmm. Right.
With, you know, online shopping and...
I hope it doesn't all go away because it was something. I mean, now I don't even feel like the traffic is that bad during Christmas time. I mean, nobody's doing like, you know, it used to be you got off work and it's like, oh my God, all these people are out shopping.
Right. But
it's going to take me an extra hour to get home because the traffic has doubled. You know what I mean? But it was also cool going to the mall.
It'd
be cold as a witch outside. You go inside and you'd have to carry your coat. And it was
warm.
Yeah. Everybody was in the Christmas spirit. It was just, it's cool.
You felt it.
Yeah.
You heard it.
Yeah.
You smelled it. Mm-hmm. You were in it.
It's something I fear is going away.
Yes.
Well,
that was
all the big distraction. Yeah. They don't care about that anymore. They're not trying to distract us now.
No, they're just outright doing stuff in our faces. You just
right.
have to deal with it.
Like they're getting rid of TikTok.
I don't think that'll happen.
I don't think that's going to
we'll
happen.
See.
No, I'm too big a TikTok and I won't let it happen.
Well, here's...
They're going to have to ask me first. Huh?
Here's what's going to happen, in my opinion, with the TikTok thing.
Yeah.
Elon Musk or somebody like that, mm-hmm. Jeff Bezos, pick your person... they're getting ready to launch their own version of copyrighted American TikTok.
There's a couple little, there's one Lemonade, there's something like that. And there's one other one that's something
one of them.
I don't know how popular they are. I haven't been on them. But I
but
don't
guess
know
how popular they're going to get.
Do you have any
if
idea?
They get rid of TikTok.
I mean, we're still talking about Christmas and that kind of thing. But it just when you mentioned Elon Musk, it just made me think about something, a conversation I heard earlier today. And the conversation was, do you have any idea how spectacular the breakup between Donnie and Elon is going to be?
It's
going to
now.
Be epic.
Epic.
It's going to
he might be
it's going to change things.
He might be the first one deported with the way things are going.
It might be happening now. He kicked a bunch of Trump people off of Twitter.
Mm.
So yeah.
There's
yeah.
unrest among them.
And, you
well,
know,
as soon as people started calling Elon President-elect Musk, Donnie lost his mind.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, excuse me?
Mm-hmm. I can deport him. He wasn't yeah. born here.
Let me get Tim Homan on this. Get old Footface on the job here.
Footface.
Round him up.
Play
him and
Game
all
of
his
Thrones,
20.
Now.
Him and all his 20 mm-hmm. kids.
Oh, it's interesting, yeah. Isn't it? Interesting,
isn't it? Yep. So, what else about Ty? Did you have to work today?
Yeah.
Did you work yesterday?
Yeah.
I went in early yesterday, checked the pools, and then came home. Because we had Hannah and Mildred coming over, and Pat and Barbie. So we had that. But I worked all day today. So
I was over there yesterday until 6.
Oof.
God damn it, Andy.
Yeah.
It's too much, man. Yeah. Let's see. What else did I want to talk about that? I guess nothing. Let's talk about the Mega Millions. Steph sort of mentioned it earlier.
Do you have a ticket?
You have a chance. Yes, we do. And that means that Stephanie and I have it. Oh, well, I have a ticket. You don't
I
have a ticket.
I did not.
I have a chance, Ty, of becoming an instant oligarch. And which means I could possibly have a seat at Trump's cabinet.
Just don't buy a
or Musk's cabinet.
He's just going to try to figure out how to deport the rest of us.
The the estimated jackpot tonight is worth an estimated $1.25 billion. I remember when the lottery would get up to $1 million and people would lose their minds.
Mm-hmm. Or $5 nobody million.
Even, nobody even buys a ticket anymore until it's $500 million. You know what I mean? It's crazy.
It kind of tells you how things are going.
Yeah. Got to make it now while you can.
I hope I have...
Well, Debbie's sharing a memory about the Eastland Mall where Steph and Kathy jumping in the water pond fountain.
Oh, yes. That happened.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
That did happen.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, I don't know. Winning $1.25 billion certainly would make a difference in your life. I would like to think that if you win that kind of money, that you're going to do good with it. That you're going to take care of a bunch of people because truly that's more money than you're ever going to need. You know, you don't have to go out and buy an island. You don't have to go out and buy a private jet. You could afford it, but you don't have to. You could do a lot of good with that money. A lot of good that a lot of the billionaires don't do.
Yeah.
You know?
Good message.
So if you win. And listen,
I'm not saying
here's the thing.
I'm going to commit to a life of poverty.
No, but I'm going to commit right now. So if you're listening, the Mega Millions people, if you're listening, just know that I'll really be a team player. I will donate and donate and donate, truly. Yeah. So just keep that in your thoughts. Do I have to read my numbers out so they know what ticket to look for when they're doing the drawing?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so that's that. And already we've been prattling along now for nearly a half hour. And I picked this week's music. We're going out with the girls.
Okay.
So the first tune I'm going to play is called Green Light, and that's by our girl, Betty Fox.
Nice.
All right, folks, with the Marco Radio Happy Hour Show, we come to you every Friday evening, 6 to 8 p.m., right here on Radio St. Pete Online and on Sunshine, 96.7 FM Radio St. Pete, where local music lives. Here's a little Betty Fox with Green Light. Okay, Betty Fox, everybody, with the song Green Light. And I believe, I don't know if that's one of her originals. It might be. So you were talking about whether we had to cut that or not.
It
might be an original. I feel like she announced that at one of the shows we went to.
I believe it is an original.
Betty Fox, one of our original local musical heroes that we used to like to go downtown and see. She unfortunately moved to Georgia and had like 14 kids. And so now we only see her when she comes back in town, and yeah, she's a little tired and beat up. And I mean, 14 kids will do that to you.
No, she had, but she did have like 3 kids in 2 years.
She's got a whole set of twins and a whole pack. It's a pack of kids.
Her perspective changed a little.
What was the biggest family? Let me just say this first. We're back, folks, with the Marco Radio Happy Hour Show. 727-804-5891 if you want to play along. Call or text, either way, 727-804-5891. So what's the biggest family you've ever known or been, like, near enough to, like, actually, like, go in their house?
I want to say the Davises, and they only had 6 kids.
6 kids. Okay, that's like chump change. What about you, Ty?
I don't know.
Okay, so I went out with this girl, I don't know, maybe a handful of times, junior high school, high school, Joanne Giroux. She was one of 14 kids.
Okay. I can't even imagine.
Oh, my God. So I remember one time I rode my moped from my neighborhood to her neighborhood so that I could show her my new moped, and we would go down to her neighborhood pool and hang out for the afternoon. But I get to her house. It was a decent-sized house, right?
Well, it would need to be.
Oh, yeah. So anyway, I walk in, and there's so many people in this house. It was like walking into a bus depot. It was like walking into a bus depot. There were all these people. I mean, there was no room on the couches. Every chair was taken up. There was people going up and down the stairs. I mean, there's some of them looked alike, some of them didn't look alike, you know. And then all of a sudden, the two parents come out of the kitchen, and I was like, "Oh my God, these are like the oldest people I've ever seen in my life." But but back in the day, they were probably in their 40s,
right?
If that, you know. And they had 14 kids. Can you imagine?
That's way too stressful.
Now, here's the thing. It's not like she had 14. Well, no. I mean, even if you have twins, because I think there were at least two sets of twins, but that's still that many births, right? Just, you know, twins don't count as one birth.
No, but it does lessen the number of pregnancies. Mm. So, you know.
Debbie says Kearns, Thieberts, Hallas.
Oh, the Hallas.
Yeah.
And see,
45 kids. That's amazing.
You know, I was friends with Stephanie Halla, mm-hmm. but she was older than I was.
Right.
And I believe she was the youngest.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like by the time I got involved, everybody else was gone.
Yeah.
You know, so it seemed the same as...
When I went over to that house that day, I don't think anybody had left the house yet. You know what I mean? It was like, this is unbelievable to me. There are people everywhere you look, there's somebody. There's not a room in the house where you can't not see somebody. I mean, it was like, man, oh, man, what's happening?
How do you live like that?
I have no idea. But listen, if that's all you know, that's all you know. And right. That's what you do.
It sounds like a nightmare.
Well, what was weird is, I don't know, my parents went to, say, an Ohio State football game, Ohio State versus Michigan in Michigan.
Yeah.
And I wasn't going, but I wasn't really old enough to stay a whole weekend alone. I must have been about, I don't know, 12.
Right.
You know, my brother was out of the nest, so I needed to go stay somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So I went and stayed at the Davises.
Yeah.
And it was so bizarre because for me, you know, it's like any time I left the house, my parents needed to know where I was every second of every day.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's like I would get up and I would look to find Charlotte and, you know, tell her, okay, I'm going to go down to the playground. You know, I'm going to the high school, whatever. I'll be back. You know, what time should I be back? And she's like, whatever.
Whatever, man. Whatever. Come back when the rest of the troops come back. You know?
It was a very freeing weekend.
Yeah.
Of, you know, she was like, yeah, just, you know, let me know that you're still alive.
I mean, for me, the concept of even having a sibling is sort of foreign to me. I mean, I was an only child.
Right.
It shows.
For me to walk into a house where there's 14 kids, it's like, what? When did this happen? Who had time for all this?
No, it's a whole different perspective.
Yeah,
it's a whole different lifestyle.
If you come from a family with that many kids, do you automatically think that you have to have that many kids? Or do you now all of a sudden go like, I'm not crazy. We're going to have one kid, maybe two.
We'll have a nice cat.
Right. You know, like Nancy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she wanted to have a baby.
Right.
She wasn't looking to have,
a football team.
One of, like, 10 or
she was. Yeah, she was. There was a lot of them, too. Yeah.
You know, that she wasn't looking for that.
So there's this guy that I listened to on the radio, and he was the oldest of five, right? And at the time, his parents, the mom stayed home, and the dad wasn't making much money. He had a good job, but then he lost his job, so then he did some side jobs. Anyway, they didn't have a lot of money. So they only drank powdered milk, okay? But what he used to talk about that used to like kind of skeeve me was the bath situation.
Oh.
So because he was the oldest one, he got to take his bath first. But then it was the next oldest one. Same water.
Yeah.
So that youngest one was dealing with all the funk. And that kid today is a serial killer.
Probably.
I don't know. Times have changed.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I just can't even imagine having that many kids. But
Well, and when they're little, it's like you just throw them all in the bathtub together.
Well, the thing is, you got to think that the older siblings are now helping with the...
Oh, absolutely.
You know, I mean, so, you know, now you got anywhere from 12 to 15-year-olds who are now becoming great parents.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I mean, they have to. They have to learn those skills early, you know. They all grow up to be...
All hands on deck.
They all grow up to be soccer moms or Karens.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Yikes. That's scary.
Yeah. So in this past year, one of the things that I noticed, and it was one of the more bizarre things for me, it seemed like in 2024... I heard more stories about people coming out and admitting that they were flat earthers. And it's like, are you, what? You know, when you hear about one flat earther, it's
these
like.
These are dark times.
It's like, did you hear that guy? He thinks the earth is flat. But I mean, this past year, it's like, I've heard a bunch of people say, and it's like, are you all out of your minds? You know, it's like, how do you. Where are you? Where's your thought process?
It's okay. Let him do it.
I saw this interview.
Do we live
Darwinism?
Do we live in the Matrix?
I saw an interview with this lady who said she was adamant. She wanted globes taken out of schools. She thought that was, you know, heresy. Taken out of schools, taken out of libraries, no globes. And the reason I know that the Earth is flat, well... is because, well, have you ever noticed that maps are flat?
Oh, for pizza's sake.
That was her argument. Have you ever noticed that maps are flat? Mm. Yeah. Yeah, I've noticed that.
This might be a hot
But she
take.
Also said that God was responsible for flipping the earth.
Mm. Daily.
Dusk and dawn to start the day or to end the day.
So.
We might have to implement a radical Darwinism here soon. Mm-hmm.
I think we tried with COVID the last time.
Yeah.
And the resurgence of COVID, which I believe is very possible.
Yeah.
I think we should invite all of these people onto a big boat.
And sink it?
And sink it.
Go, MAGA, go. Go, MAGA, go.
Go explore the Titanic, if you will.
It's an interesting group of people, man.
I don't know. It's just, it's bizarre.
I saw a guy today.
People will believe anything.
I was driving my golf cart today at work, and I was coming down the road, and this guy's waving at me like somebody I hadn't seen since, you know, last summer or last winter. Snowbird. And he's waving at me like, oh, I haven't seen you. And as the closer I get, he's got a Make America Great Again hat on. I just looked at him as I went by. I was like, didn't wave. I just looked at him. I was like, really? I don't know, man.
No friend I'm of
just
mine.
I'm just not on that team.
Have a nice day. Just
can't wrap my head around that. Yeah.
Please keep that high visibility hat on.
Yes.
Keep
please.
That to yourself. I wouldn't share that.
We want to know where you people are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the one good thing is they are all tagging themselves.
Very easy to spot.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it is kind of interesting how quiet it's been.
Because it's the calm.
It's the calm before the storm. I have a feeling after January 20th, it's going to go down. And I don't know what's going to happen, but it's going to be weird. It's going to be different than anything we've ever seen. I believe that.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't think anything good is going to happen possibly ever again.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no. Don't be so pessimistic.
I'm pretty sure Panama will sell Trump the canal.
Yeah. They're going to love that.
I'm pretty sure he's beating him down by now.
Okay. Because yeah, he's such a great negotiator.
The art of the deal.
Deal of a lifetime.
Right. They'll get health care.
Mm-hmm.
We won't.
Yeah, of course.
We'll have the Panama Canal, though.
Yeah. I saw just recently an interview that Trump was giving in Italy. And the Italian interpreter was standing sort of beside him and next to him. And he said that Americans have had a wonderful relationship with the Italians since all the way back to the Romans. And the lady was like,
well, that's wrong for a couple of reasons.
Well, first of all, there was no America back then.
There was no America. And then Italy sided with Hitler during World War
II. The stuff that comes out of his mouth, it's like, does he think we're all that dumb?
Right.
I mean,
yes, he does.
He does. Anyway.
He probably didn't go to school, but the rest of us did, you know?
Some of us did.
Did you see the other day when he was talking about the word groceries? It's a simple word. It's the word groceries. And you're thinking, have you ever once in your life set foot in a grocery store? You know what I mean?
There's no way.
But he's like, it's a word. It's a word that they like to use, groceries. And they're so expensive.
Does he even know what that means?
It's like...
That groceries are food?
Well, he did say that he can't bring the prices down.
No, yeah. He already said that. So that's one thing already.
And you know, the tariffs, yeah, it'll probably make things more expensive.
Have you ever seen the Key and Peele skit where, I don't know which one is which, but the one that does Obama
mm-hmm.
is sitting in the chair and Obama's talking and the other one's standing behind him and he's like the interpreter,
yeah,
right?
I
so
love those skits.
Trump needs that guy standing behind him, but instead of interpreting, he just slaps him in the back of the head. It's like, stop that.
What are
Nobody's
you doing?
Nobody's believing that.
That's not true. Oh, that would be a great SNL skit.
The Americans and the Italians have had a wonderful relationship since all the way back to the Romans.
All of our beautiful aircraft in the Revolutionary War.
Right.
Yeah. Right, bud.
Yeah. Mm. Welcome to reality.
Goodness gracious.
Talk about a flat earth.
Mm-hmm. We're boned.
We are boned, man. This is going to be no bueno.
It's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
We got our passports.
You got your passports.
We're going to use them more than likely.
So I saw that Luigi Mangione, the suspected UHC CEO killer, pled innocent the other day.
As he should.
Well, listen.
He didn't do anything wrong.
There's pictures. There's video. He was caught with a gun and a manifesto. To me, it almost seems like a slam dunk. But
He didn't do anything wrong.
But
I didn't see him do anything wrong.
But by pleading innocent, isn't it just his way now of screwing with the justice system,
mm-hmm.
right? Putting a wrench in the system, just like health insurance companies do for all of their policyholders.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's his way of going, okay, let's, you want to give us a runaround? No, I'm going to give you a runaround.
Yep.
Yep. I'm going to refuse everything you say.
This is going to go under review.
Yep. Yeah, just because you have pictures of me and you got video and you got my manifesto doesn't mean I did it.
Right. Just like...
We don't know that's him in the video.
That could be AI. Yeah. He should be the first defendant to go, that's AI. That's clearly AI.
Yeah. Well,
that wasn't me. Prove it wasn't AI. Can you prove it wasn't AI?
You send all of your medical records, all the documentation of what's wrong with you to the insurance company, and they're like, yeah, no. I
see here where you've paid in your entire life, but nah.
No.
It's a no for me, dog.
It's a no for me. We're going to pay for about 5 minutes worth of anesthesia.
Right.
And then you're on your own.
And then you're on your own.
Toughen up.
So.
Bring a belt to bite on.
Silver bullet, something, anything.
These surgeons just, they should be able to get an appendix out in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Vacuum.
Why are they being so slow?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
can you imagine the audacity?
Why are they taking their time?
The audacity of that. And these are all decisions made by the CEOs mm-hmm. who make a ton of money, who don't even need health insurance. You know what I mean? They get it. I guarantee. Do you think that guy, the CEO of UHC, didn't have health insurance?
Oh, he had great health insurance.
He had the best. He was the king. He was the king of UHC. You know what I mean?
That's why Luigi's a hero.
Well, listen, in a lot of ways, there's a lot of people that would agree with you. I don't agree with just going out and deciding that you get to kill somebody just because you don't agree with them. But I can also see the other argument as well. It's like,
if you're going to make an omelet, you got to break a few eggs.
You got to crack some eggs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, how many people died because of their denied claims?
A whole lot more people than just him.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, so there's...
How do you do that? How do you do that? How do you...
I'm sure the money helps.
How do you get... Oh, I'm sure. I mean, I heard this argument the other day. Somebody was saying, yeah, but here's the thing. He was a really good CEO because he was doing everything right for the shareholders. Yeah, but that's not the point.
That's not the point. The shareholders...
You're robbing these people of all of their money.
You're killing them.
For nothing.
And killing them.
Yeah, for nothing.
He got what he got.
He did. And like, yeah, but he was a father and a husband and a son.
I'm sure he killed lots of those.
Yeah, and it was like, and? you know,
it's hard to have sympathy for the unsympathetic.
Right. I agree. I totally agree. Yeah.
You know what else he could do? He could bleed. And now they all remember.
Yeah, well, I don't know what his end was like. I saw a video of it. Looked, anyway, I don't know. Mm-hmm.
Didn't look as excruciating as it should have been.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was a little too short and sweet.
It should have been like one of those Saw movies.
Mm-hmm.
Put him in a room. He's got to escape, but the key is in a box, and he's got to put his hand in the box. But the box is full of like three chainsaws. And the key is in between.
But he's got to saw his other arm.
You got to saw your other arm off
first because it's chained to a chair.
Is there anything more frightening than that? Can you imagine being in a situation where you're stuck? Like that kid, how many years ago that was
mountain climbing
and got his arm caught under that boulder.
Oh, yeah.
Wedge.
And after like 3 days, he decided to cut his arm off. I mean,
with like a Swiss Army knife.
Yeah. Oh, my God. No way. I'd be dead. They'd find my body dangling from my dead arm stuck under the boulder. There's no way I'm cutting my arm off. But he actually, in an interview, I heard him say that it really wasn't that bad because by that point, my arm was dead.
Right.
So it didn't have any feeling anyway, you know. But a Swiss Army knife, at least you've got some options. You got the blade, but then you do have the little saw because you're going to have to go through some bone.
That saw is not worth anything. No,
it keeps folding up on your finger, so it's cutting off your other finger.
Oh, you're horrible.
Oh, my God.
Well, I mean, he's lucky he was able to actually open the thing with one hand.
I'm sure he used his teeth.
Probably had to use his teeth. Probably chipped a tooth.
I would have dropped it.
Now he's got severe tooth. Now he's got to somehow get his shoe off, his hiking boot off that's laced up, you know, to the middle of his shin. He's got to try to work those laces off, get his boot off, manipulate his toes to pick it up, and get it close enough to grab it with his good hand. Oh, I'm sure it was a complete
show.
Cluster. Mm-hmm. It was a complete cluster. You know what I mean? And at what point during this whole episode are you like, if you're not religious, or even if you are religious, at what point do you go, come on, man.
What are we doing?
What are we doing?
What did I do? I was out enjoying all of your splendor. Enjoying all of this. Look what you did to me. Do you know something I don't know? You rolled this boulder down on my arm? And now I got to cut my own arm off?
Not cool, dude.
Yeah.
I'm playing for the other team now.
What's the prophecy here? I mean, okay, you're going to lose your arm, but now you're going to become a prophet for the people. No, I'm just going to be angry.
Yeah.
I'm going to be an angry one-armed man.
Well, I mean, whenever they do stories like that, it's always something goofy. It's like, oh, this lady lost her arms, but now she finger paints with her feet pictures of Jesus. And it's like, great, I love this. This is what I wanted to do.
Did I ever tell you the story of me having dinner with a woman who had no arms and ate with her feet?
No.
Oh, my God. It was the most, I was probably 11 or 12, and my mom took me to this house.
And you're so cultured and well-adjusted.
Right.
Yeah, right.
And this woman who was there, no arms. And she did everything with her feet.
Mm-hmm.
And I was getting used to it because we were there prior to dinner. I was getting used to the fact that she was doing everything with her feet. And I was a kid, so I'm sort of playing. And there were a couple other kids in the house too. So I was playing with the kids, but I was also like, what is going on over there? And then we all sat down to dinner, and she sat right across from me. And I felt like as she was eating, she was staring at me the whole time.
She probably was.
So I was kind of...
Oh.
I'm shielding my eyes, but just enough so I can see what action is happening here. It was the most bizarre thing I've ever seen. But to her credit, what a talent.
I know.
She was doing it all, man. It wasn't like she was just, she was using a knife and a fork. She was doing it all. She was drinking a cup. She was wiping her mouth. She was doing it all.
Look.
No help.
My first trip out to California, mm-hmm. we sat behind a lady who had no arms and did everything with her feet.
Yeah.
And she was going out to California to be on the Jerry Lewis telethon.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I see all of this on the plane. And then we watched. We're on vacation in California. And we're watching the Jerry Lewis telethon.
And there she was.
To be able to see her.
Right. Answering the phone.
On TV.
With her foot.
And she had two.
Taking pledges.
Well, she had two kids, and
yeah.
she took care of babies with just her feet. It truly was miraculous.
I've seen another lady online who drives, no arms. She's got a truck that's not just, it's not lowered. She can manipulate herself. I mean, she's very bendy. She can.
Well, you'd have to be.
She can work the one foot up there, open up the door, work the key. You know what I mean? Do it all.
And have you ever
and drives.
Have you seen me try to into one of those great big trucks?
Right. It's pretty amazing.
It's hysterical.
Yeah.
And I have all my limbs. I can't manage to get in or out. That, but anyway.
I'm sorry for the little sidebar there. How did we get onto that?
I don't know.
What were we talking about?
Look, you're supposed to be the...
With it?
Captain of the show here, Mr. Quarterback.
Trying to quarterback here.
Right into the ground.
Right into the ground. All right, folks, with the Marco Radio Happy Hour Show, we come to you every Friday evening, 6 to 8 p.m., right here on Radio St. Pete Online and on Sunshine, 96.7 FM Radio St. Pete, where local music lives. We're going to take a break. We've already been prattling along for an hour. It is time for our midway break. During the break, I'm going to play a bunch of promos, and these promos are of shows. Please do yourself a favor and check them out. I know you probably got to pee, you got to refresh your drink, but get back in a hurry and check out these promos because there's a lot of fantastic programming on Radio St. Pete and on Sunshine 96.7 FM Radio St. Pete. These shows come on later this evening after our show and then throughout the weekend. Like I say, a lot of great programming. We'll see you in a couple of minutes.
Sunshine 96.7 FM, WMTB LP, St. Petersburg, Radio St. Pete, where local music lives.
One and all, let us imbibe with the Marco Radio Show Happy Hour. This is Ed Rowe from the Boho Sideshow.
Okay, I got a text during the break that this is one of his, Valerie by Amy Winehouse, is one of his all-time favorite songs, and I texted back, me too. Gorgeous. Listen, that girl was super talented, had some troubles, died as part of the 27 Club, unfortunately. Mm. What is it about 27? I don't get that, but
I don't know.
That's when they peak and they fizzle, apparently. But yeah, what a beautiful song that is. I mean, she's got a lot of great tunes, but that Valerie is just beautiful.
One of my favorites.
Yep. Anyway, folks, we are back with the Marco Radio Happy Hour Show. We come to you every Friday evening, 6 to 8 p.m. right here on Radio St. Pete Online and on Sunshine, 96.7 FM Radio St. Pete, where local music lives. If you want to give us a call or text, the number to do that is 727-804-5891. One more time, 727-804-5891. We'll talk to you about any old thing, or you can text us, whatever. Whatever. It's just, you know, this is our last show of the year, folks.
Yeah.
It's not our last show.
No.
But it's the last show of the year.
Hopefully. Not our last show.
We'll see. We said earlier, if you wanted to share your resolution, you could. I don't know. I think a lot of people keep that close to the vest. You know what I mean? I'm not going to share anything.
I have goals, but I'm not going to share because...
Is it because of fear of failure?
Fear of failure.
Because a lot of times, yes. I mean, how many resolutions actually come to fruition? I mean, all the way through. You know what I mean?
Very few.
No, but the thing about a resolution, as long as it gets you going for a little bit, at least you know maybe that might inspire more movement in another direction. Something. Oh. It's just you willed yourself through this process of deciding, resolving that you're going to do something. You know what
right.
I mean? So I don't think resolutions are a bad thing. A lot of us don't carry through with them, but if you can, good on you. That's good on you, man.
And you know, be kind to yourself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, one day of.
Don't be so hard on yourself. Yeah. Don't.
Yeah.
Don't,
you know. Oh.
You're walking into new territory here.
A week in, 2 weeks in, and your resolution was to eat healthier, and you've done it.
Right.
And then one day, you're like, I really need to drive through McDonald's.
We'll see. Okay.
Okay. That's okay. That's okay.
It is okay. And one of the things, and this is something...
You're allowed to treat yourself well.
Did you guys see the commercials over the holiday about like this new, and I think Google's involved, but it's Gemini, where people are having conversations with Gemini. And one of the conversations is about somebody, I don't want to go to the gym today. And Gemini says, well, why don't you go for, you know, try to go for 10 minutes.
Yeah,
just get in the door. Just see what happens.
Get off the couch. Get dressed.
Mm-hmm.
Is that AI?
It is AI. And one of the things about this AI is, Ty, if you've seen the commercial, it's actually pretty interesting. And I was thinking about the whole possibility of this Gemini for me, like putting the show together. Because as you two know, we don't talk about anything that we're going to talk about prior to the show.
Right.
Zero. Right. But sometimes it would be nice if I had somebody to bounce stuff off of. If I could have a conversation with Gemini, you know, and be like, what do you think about this? And maybe and it's very interactive because, I mean, if you listen to the conversations that they're having on the commercial, it's like, yeah, that's cool. But and it's very, very like that. It's like, yeah, that's cool. But what about this? And it's like, oh, right. So I don't I'd be very interested in checking out this whole Gemini.
Don't support AI.
AI. Well, listen, it's all going there. It's all going there.
It doesn't have to.
Yeah, well, it doesn't have to, but
it probably shouldn't.
But if it's beneficial.
It's not.
Listen, we already talked earlier in the show
a lot more harm than good.
We already talked during the show that before long, we're not going to shop at box stores anymore. It's all going to be online. So if you've got somebody, something.
That should be a real person.
It should be a real person, but I mean, if you know.
But that means your real people need to be dependable.
Well, I don't know. I don't know that it's such a horrible idea.
It's not a good idea.
It needs to be real people, real interactions. But thought process.
I agree with that. I agree with that. But listening to those commercials, it seemed like.
Well, the commercials, they always make it seem magical.
I mean, the voice was cool. It was like it wasn't robotic. You know, it was.
But it is.
Well, it is. Right. So what are you saying? Don't do it?
Don't do it.
All right.
Be a real human being with feelings and emotions and caring without the help of AI.
Here, we got a resolution right here. This is from Debbie. One resolution for 2025 is girls' trip to Ohio for a class reunion in July for sure, but mostly for our Montrose girls together.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's... There you go.
Girls' trip.
And see, it's happening. Those are attainable. You can plan a trip.
That's a
goal.
You know what I mean? That's
a whole different thing than going, you know what? I'm going to quit doing this. I'm going to quit doing that. I'm going to quit doing this.
I'm going to go to the gym.
And I'm going to do this and do that, which means you got to change your whole schedule.
Mm-hmm.
You got to do a whole lot of things to attain that goal. You know,
but
planning a trip... That's an attainable goal. That's a good resolution. I like that.
I'm all about it.
Nice.
That's girls' good. Trip.
So you guys Montrose are against this whole girl. Gemini thing.
Yeah, I don't like it. I don't like any AI.
I don't like it because just like shopping online,
mm-hmm.
it puts you more in a box
right.
than actually interacting with real people,
right. What I don't want to get is like 2001 where it's like, open the door, Hal. Sorry, Dave, I can't do that.
That's where it going. Is.
And what if I say, what if I'm spitballing, you know, stuff for a show and I'm like, and what if Gemini is having a bad day and I'm like, what do you think about this? And he's like, that's so dumb. Who are you? Why would you think that that's going to be interesting? And that would hurt my feelings. You know what I mean? And now I'm pissed at Gemini. You know?
No, they're trying to get you to befriend it so you'll tell it secrets.
Yeah. And Gemini, by the way, my phone number is, and my social security number is, and my bank account number is.
Right.
We're such good friends, Gemini.
Yeah.
Thanks for helping me out with this the show stuff. But,
I mean,
and here's my bank account numbers.
Help me.
Gemini's like, that sounds really cool. By the way, what's your bank account number? He's sending secret whispered subliminal messages to me.
How many sci-fi movies have been made for the last 50 years?
Right.
About AI taking over.
Well, what so it looks like. So what the commercials. Yeah, but what the commercials so look many. Like to me. What the commercials look like to me is instead of, you know, typing in something to Google, you just like Gemini, and Gemini goes to Google for you and does that. But then Gemini will also have a conversation with you, and that's the part. I'm more interested in the conversation part. You know what I mean? He can fact check your conversation. Well, his name is Gemini. And the voice, I'm saying he because the voice on the commercial is male. That's the only reason I'm saying he.
AI has ruined the internet. Google searches have, dropped in accuracy since they've put in the AI.
Oh, absolutely. I agree.
Forget Gemini.
You know, you Google something now. You used to be able to Google, especially if you had been talking about it,
mm-hmm.
and you type in the first three letters,
right?
Your Google search was there. Now, you type in the whole thing,
yeah,
and they give you 85 things that are not what you were looking for.
Yeah.
Oh, but buy this.
Well, and then, I mean, if you start talking to Gemini, just like if you have a conversation about something, now all of a sudden, the next time you go to Google, there's 15 commercials about what your conversation was. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like, I didn't Google that, but you were listening.
Yeah. Now you have all these ads for hemorrhoid cream or something.
Maybe you can do ad-free Gemini.
It's going to cost more.
I don't think that Gemini was going to cost anything. I think it was free.
Yeah, right. See?
For now. You think it's free, but you've already been hypnotized to give them your bank account number.
The first one's always free.
Yeah, right.
Welcome.
All right. Well, so I'm just so glad I've got you two, the voices of reason, to keep me grounded.
Come to the dark side. Welcome. We'd love to have you here.
Dad just said,
we'll tell you what to think.
Dad says,
are you questioning yourself?
Dad says, what's real? With MAGA and AI, we're beginning to enter the world of neo-fayfabe. Neo-fayfabe? I'm not sure what that is. Neo-fayfabe.
Oh,
I'm not
maybe
sure what
it,
that is.
Maybe it auto-corrected.
It's probably some good technical word, but it came out neo-fayfabe.
Yeah.
I can spell it for you. N-E-O-F-A-Y-F-A-B-E. Neo-fayfabe? I don't know what that is. How would you pronounce it?
I think it's an acronym that we cannot go into. Oh, on live radio.
Mm-hmm. Before the people in the white coats and the white vans come and scoop us up.
They're already on their way.
It's Tim Homan.
Or
foot face.
You're
going with the first group of Mexicans, damn it. I heard what you said about my face. I don't like you, Marco. You're mean.
Whatever, foot face.
Right.
Why don't you go ahead and put a slipper on that? Yeah. I'm tired of looking at you.
Put a slipper on that.
Why don't you cover all this up?
Put a sock on it.
Maybe you should wear a mask.
Yeah.
COVID, you know.
Something, anything. A Nixon mask would be better. So, here's something a little concerning.
What else is new?
Another killer has been born. An African pygmy elephant, or hippo, not elephant, hippo, was born at the Metro Richmond Zoo just days before Christmas.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Hippos seem to be cute and nice. I mean, a lot of times when you see them depicted, they have like tutus on and stuff like that. But
that
it turns
guy got
out
killed. They put the tutu on.
Right. Hippos are one of the most dangerous animals on Earth and kill more people than lions. Hippos kill an estimated 500 people per year in Africa, twice the number of people killed by lions.
Mm-hmm.
I saw this video today, okay, and it was a hippo, and this was a big-ass hippo. I mean, huge. It would barely fit in this room. I mean, it was huge, this hippo. And you know how, like, out in Africa, they always have the watering hole, right? So this watering hole, the bank has probably got 20 African crocodiles just sunning themselves on the bank, right? And this hippo just walks up to the bank like, move, bitches. Move, I'm getting a sip of water. And they're all like scrambling. You know, they don't want to have anything to do with the hippo. And the hippo gets a sip of water. Huge hippo. And then he just gets in the water and disappears. Because they do the whole submersible thing, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? They can stay underwater for forever, you know? But yeah, he walked up and he's like stepping over these crocodiles like, don't make me step on you because I will. You know, he wasn't afraid of those crocodiles at all. Zero.
There's not even
zero fear.
Of you.
Right. But anyway, so there's a new baby pygmy hippo that was just born at the Metro Richmond Zoo. And apparently these pygmo hippos. Or should it be pygmo hippies?
I feel like that's something we'll get canceled for.
Yeah. These pygmy hippos are, unlike other hippos, they're more solitary. So where regular hippos sort of travel in packs, and there's not very many left in the world. I think they said there were only like 25,000 hippos left in the world, period. But they said that these pygmy hippos are more solitary. Well, they'll just be lone rangers or they'll hook up with a mate that they'll just travel the world one or two,
or,
and that's it. So
or
what they're
hit it and quit it.
Hit it and quit it. So what they're saying about this baby pygmy hippo is that once it becomes older, they're going to have to transfer it from the Metro Richmond Zoo to someplace else where it could be, you know, find a mate and whatever. I don't know. What do you think about zoos?
Eat the mate.
Zoos are cool, but I think zoos,
zoos are for people.
They are for people, but I also think that I think they've lost, I think at a point they lost the purpose of being a zoo. I think when I was
a kid,
zoos were all about
sanctuary.
No. I think it's more like that now. I think it's gone from this is where you go to see the animals. We've captured this animal. We don't, you know, we're gonna treat it well and da 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 da. But this is where this animal is gonna live for the rest of its life. I think now zoos have gone more to conservation. Where now, if you rescue like this pygmy hippo, I'm hoping that they eventually release it. But are you going to be able to if it has never known anything but the zoo?
No, and that's...
Because that pygmy hippo being locked up its whole life, he'll walk up to that watering hole with the crocodiles, and the crocodile will be like, punk ass.
Yeah.
We're taking this one down.
You know, I mean, that's... There's protection, and then there's survival.
Right.
And it's a fine line. And I don't think, that's a hard one.
It is hard. I love animals. I don't like to see animals hurt. I like the fact that zoos and things like that, or conservationists, try to protect the animals the best they can. But at what point are you doing more damage?
More harm.
Because there is the circle of life.
Right.
You know, and it's like, look, you know, I mean, sometimes you're just not going to make it.
You know? A lot of the reasons they don't make it is because of us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. That's unfortunate.
So let's quit putting plastic in the water and, you know, polluting the air.
Honey, if we don't create plastic islands out in the ocean, what are we going to do with all that plastic? I mean, come on, be real.
That wouldn't be very good for the shareholders.
Right.
Think about their families.
We're making all this plastic stuff that's supposed to be recyclable, but guess what? It's not all recyclable. Should be. Anyway, folks, we're the Marco Radio Happy Hour Show. We've already been prattling along long enough to get to our third and final break.
Third down.
Right. So I got a little gem here. And at the beginning of the show, I said that the ladies were going to take us out at the end of the year. We did Betty Fox. We did Amy Winehouse. And this is a little Brandi Carlile with a beauty of a song called Dreams. Dig this. We'll be right back.
Dreams.
All right. Well, that was Dreams by Brandi Carlile. I love that song. She's fantastic. I wish I knew more about her and more about her catalog. I know that she collaborates a lot with a lot of great artists because she's a fantastic songwriter. Brandi Carlile, man, that song Dreams, I've always loved that. 727-804-5891. Folks, this is the final segment of our final show for 2024. It goes quick, so pay attention. And talking about dreams, Ty, I know that Hebrew National Hot Dogs make you have dreams.
Yes.
Nightmares, in fact.
Nightmares.
Okay. So I had a dream last night, okay? And I didn't have any Hebrew Nationals. I don't know what sparked it. It wasn't a terrifying dream, but it was one of those dreams that's a real pain in the ass, okay? So for whatever reason, there was a situation, okay, where me and mom and the two puppies had to go and, like, shelter at Tampa International Airport, okay? And we are sharing a bed, okay? It's a king-size bed. Me, mom, the two puppies, and somebody who works at the airport is in the bed with us, right? And we're all playing nice. We're all trying to be, you know, share our space. And then at one point in the dream, I wake up from being in this bed, and I'm like, where's Oliver? And I can't find Oliver. And I said to mom, I said, where's Oliver? She goes, well, I have Maida right here. And you remember when Harley was little, mom used to carry him around inside her shirt. Mm-hmm. She goes, well, I got her right here inside my shirt. And she's laying back on the bed. And this person, who was like an older gentleman, is laying next to mom. And he's like, yeah, she's right here in your mom's shirt or in Steph's shirt, that kind of thing. But I'm like, well, where's Oliver? And I get out of bed, and it's like being at the airport. All the lights are on. There's a bunch of people walking around. And I start going, Oliver, Oliver. And all of a sudden, a different dog would come up to me. And I'd be like, you're not Oliver. And then I'd be like calling him, Oliver, Oliver. And then another dog would come up to me. And at one point I was like, how many damn dogs are named Oliver? You know, but I could not find Oliver. And I was like, where the hell is he? I mean, I'm looking all over. I've gone up the escalator. I'm looking on this floor. Where is Oliver? I could not find Oliver. It got to the point where it was like, what is going on here? How did we lose Oliver in this airport?
He got on a plane.
And where are who's all these other dogs named Oliver? It was just one of those dreams that was sort of mind-blowing, really. It was like...
Well, and what's weird
right.
is last night,
mm-hmm.
Oliver was sleeping where like the lower half of my body should be in the bed. And he would not move all night. He never snuggled with you. I had this much bed on this side, this much bed on the other side of him.
Right.
And no covers.
Yeah.
Either way I went.
But I was like, where the hell is he? I just couldn't find him. I just remember.
He was sleeping in my spot.
And I remember the dogs that would
not move.
The dogs that would come up to me, some of them were Frenchies, but some of them were like rough looking. You know what I mean? It was like, oh no, you're not my Oliver.
You're not my Oliver.
You know what I mean? It was like, where's my Oliver? And then I can remember in the dream thinking, even if he does come up to me, will I be able to recognize him? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because I watch a lot of videos of, you know, of puppies and stuff like that. And it's like, would I be able to pick him out of a crowd?
Oh.
You know what I mean?
You could. It's more about personality than about looks. Look, when I went to the mall the other day,
right,
there was a guy that looked just like Oliver.
Yeah.
With a little girl getting ready to go see Santa, and he had his Christmas sweater on. Looked just like Oliver, but his personality was completely different.
Yeah, he's his whole thing. But I couldn't find him. Couldn't find him. I woke up and found him
because he usually sleeps.
I woke up. I had to pee. I got back in bed. I saw him in the bed, and it was like, okay, it was just a dream.
Yeah, but he usually sleeps. Yeah. You know, in He'll one in, of your nooks.
Right.
And instead, he slept
where
my lower half of my body belonged,
right,
in the bed.
Mm-hmm.
So I was pretzeled or hanging.
So I saw this story earlier today, and I was like, oh, this could have been me. I saw where a stressed Amazon driver in Massachusetts dumped 80 packages in the woods just days prior to Christmas, claiming that he was just too stressed out.
I get it.
Better not be any of mine.
But here's the thing. Isn't Amazon very liberal? I mean, can't you like receive like an 80-inch TV, call Amazon and go, never got it, dude. And they'll send you another one, you know, for free.
They're more strict now.
I mean, if you're hiking around in the woods, and you come up on 80 packages.
No, I didn't.
Which ones are you gonna return them? And my thought was the ones I don't want, which indicates that I opened them.
Who reported that? I think it was just the 80 people didn't get their packages.
No, there was a police officer that was driving by, and he was like, what is that? Because he didn't take them very far into the woods. He just took them, like, off the road, you know. And there were, like three canvas bags. And when they, you know, took them all up, it turned out to be 80 packages. But listen.
Anything good?
Okay. Well, who knows?
They didn't give a
breakdown. I would have found out. I would have found out if there was anything good.
They just wanted to make sure they weren't explosives.
Right. I can remember.
Because the police were involved.
So I feel like I've had a job ever since I was a little boy. So at around 9 or 10, during the summertime, I was approached by this guy. And he says, hey, do you know this apartment complex pretty good? And I said, I do. And he said, would you be interested in delivering this Grit magazine, right? And that's what it was called, Grit magazine, right? And I was like, well, I need to ask my mom. So I asked my mom. She says, well, who is this guy? And she met the guy, right? And it was a legitimate, Grit was a legitimate sort of offshoot sort of magazine, newspaper kind of thing back in the day. And she was like, well, how long will he have to do it? And he goes, it can be just a summer thing, you know. So anyway, it turned out that there were like 60 like apartments that I had to drop off these Grit magazines to. So I get the first day, I get the Grit magazines, and I'm all into it. And I was nervous because I was like, oh, my God. I mean, I know the neighborhood, but I was like, I'm trying to deliver all these Grit things, these Grit magazines. And then after a couple of days, I pretty much got it down. But then after about, I don't know, 8 days in, this is summer vacation. And one of the things I would spend pretty much all day until I went to deliver my Grit at the pool. Well, now my friends are there and they're like, oh, what are you doing? I got to go deliver the Grit magazine. And they're like, oh, don't go. And I was like, well, I gotta go deliver it. So I would go and I'd grab the Grit and I'd deliver like 20 of them and I'd throw the rest of them in the dumpster.
Oh my God.
But I think it was a free publication. I don't think anybody subscribed to Grit. You know?
Hopefully not.
Yeah. So I didn't make it through the summer delivering Grit magazine. It
didn't work out.
No, but yeah, I dumped more of them in the dumpster than I delivered.
Oh God. That sounds about right.
Speaks volumes.
Well, I mean, I get it, man. I mean, when you see, what was that episode of Seinfeld where the Newman, you know, he got stressed out delivering the mail. So now all of a sudden he's stacking mail in his apartment. You know what I mean? So now it looks like a hoarder because he's got all this mail that he hasn't delivered. You know? I get it.
Just do it. Yeah, how hard is it to just do it?
You know, I mean, sometimes it and stack up if you got other things going, and, you know, whatever.
Okay.
I mean, I can kind of see this guy's, you know, thing. You don't know what he's got going on in his life. It was like, oh, it's 80 packages.
Yeah, I mean, it can't be good. He works for Amazon.
Well, and, you know, I mean, he probably knows the thing about Amazon. It's like, they'll just replace it.
They don't even give those people pee breaks.
Mm-mm.
No, but he's going to have to be the one that replaces him. So, what is he?
It's Amazon. He didn't work out, so they took him out back and shot him.
He's just stopgapping to deliver him next week.
You can't go against Darth Bezos like that.
Darth Bezos, right. Darth Bezos. Anyway. I could kind of see the guy's situation.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
No, you got to follow through.
Mm-hmm. What do we think about these cars over the holiday, over the last weekend or so? I've been seeing all these car commercials. A lot of them are about hands-free driving.
Don't like it.
And then, me neither. And what about the ones that do like the crab walk? Have you seen that? The crab walk driving?
I mean, that's kind of neat.
It's neat, but I mean, when do you use it when you're driving? I mean, the commercial shows these three vehicles driving through snow and they're crab walking side to side, but would you do that if you're driving down the highway?
No.
I mean, I thought it was designed to help you parallel park.
Which, that would make sense.
You know, right. I don't understand. Why would you, your car goes from lane to lane pretty easily without crab walking.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I don't know if that's something that you need. I think it should only be used for parallel parking.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fake innovation.
Right. The hands-free thing really freaks me out just because...
people are already distracted.
Well, they're distracted. And then if you're on a road trip, especially at night, and you put it on hands-free... how much easier is it going to be for you to fall asleep?
Yeah. You're not doing anything. No.
Now all of a sudden your hands are in your lap and your head's back and you're drooling and
cruise control.
Yeah, and you're just relying on this car to drive. I mean, is there like a camera on you that knows when you're asleep? I mean, there's got to be some sort of automatic shutoff if you fall asleep. The car has to know if you fall asleep.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are situations where I think you have to tap back in, You know what I mean? If it gets hairy, like all of a sudden there's a bunch of traffic, I think you have to tap back in. So now, okay, I'm in control again.
Well, I mean, look, it's going to kill a whole bunch of people. Those cars are new and expensive, so it's only killing rich people.
Yeah.
It's fine.
I'll talk to my Gemini about it tomorrow, see what he thinks. Mm. I don't know. I don't want the hands-free driving. My only hands-free driving is if we win the Mega Millions, then I want to be sitting in the back of our rock star bus, right, and somebody else is going to be driving.
Yeah.
Somebody else's hands are on the wheel.
Right. Somebody I can trust. Yeah.
Oh, great.
It's going to have to be Paul Huntley.
That means it's not going to happen. Because we couldn't hire anybody to do that.
No. Mm-mm.
Couldn't pay somebody to do that.
Well, they'd be a crackhead.
Right.
They're very affordable.
So, you know.
Give them a couple of shekels and they'll tell you everything's going to be okay. Yep. What else do I have? Where are we? How close are we? We're getting close.
We are very close. Do you have quotes?
I do have quotes, but we're not that close. So, let's see. Oh, my God. So, I saw this story a couple of weeks ago, and I didn't bring it up on the show because I ran out of time. But apparently, there's an onslaught of infants who are now getting what's called werewolf syndrome. And they are children of parents who are balding, who take the drug minoxidil, and they don't wash their hands well enough. So now they're handling the babies, and now the babies, wherever they handle them, are starting to get these big tufts of hair. And they're calling it werewolf syndrome.
That's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. But true.
But it is true. It's absolutely true. This is not a fake story. So if you are struggling with baldness and you have an infant and you're taking minoxidil, make sure you wash your damn hands before you're handling that kid.
I feel like this is a fake story.
And don't touch them on the face, because then they will definitely look like a werewolf.
This is a great ad campaign for them, because now it's like, oh, well, it works.
Look what it does to the babies.
And it's also a great ad campaign to wash your hands.
Yes.
Wash your hands. Wash your hands. Mm-hmm. Wash your hands. Look, I wash my hands 35 times a day. Look at my white mouse.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, it's gross.
Mm-hmm.
And
look at my keyboard over here.
But you don't wash your hands.
Oh, yes, I do.
I wash my hands every time I touch something. And my mouse still has that.
Do you, when you receive a text message, do you read it in the person who sent it's voice?
It depends.
I think if they have a distinctive voice, I do.
If they annoy me, I give them a more annoying voice.
Yeah, right. But for the most part, I think I imagine their voice, but I'm not reading it in that voice. Unless they do have like a distinctive voice. If they have like a very distinctive voice, then I'm definitely playing it out.
Do you do the same thing with an email or a letter?
Yeah. I mean, what would be the difference? I mean, yeah, that's the same concept.
I'm just asking.
It's the absolute same concept, you know.
You know, but it's, you know, because you were very specific to the text message.
Well, it's because this is the wave of the future.
If you get an email or a handwritten letter, Do you do the same thing? Is this a new concept?
Or do you go so far as to make up a voice? Like, if this is like an annoying person in your life, you're like, hey.
Yeah.
Oh, have I got the karaoke machine for you?
Mm-hmm.
You can amplify it.
Right.
It has settings, mm-hmm, and textures.
Right. All right, I should probably do the quotes.
Yes.
That's what I'm thinking. All right, so these are going to be the last quotes of 2024.
Make them good.
Make them good.
Well, I've already picked them.
Well.
Hope you picked good ones.
All right, here's the first one. No man has ever put his hand up a lady's skirt looking for a library card.
Mm. Okay.
That came from Joan Rivers.
I love that.
If you want prayer back in school, send your kid to a goddamn Christian school. Yep. This one says, every damn thing is your own fault if you're any good. And that's from Ernest Hemingway. Mm. Mm-hmm. This one says, you have the right to be offended, and I have the right to offend you.
Yes. That is a concept that is lost today.
This one says, if you want the present to be different from the past, study the past.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's absolutely.
It. That's why they're trying to get rid of that.
And the last one for 2024, some people walk in the rain, others just get wet. Those are my quotes for 2024, folks.
Some of us play in the rain.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so that's it. Stephanie, do you have anything you want to add here at the end of the show?
Thank you all for listening. Happy end of 2024.
Right.
2025.
It's going to be crazy.
Let's go up.
Yeah.
Up.
Let's try to keep a positive outlook.
And things are going to be better.
Right. What about you, kid?
When they go low, we go lower.
No.
Yes. We're not playing nice anymore. They had their chance. We tried that. It didn't work.
Yeah.
The gloves are off now.
Can we go low and high simultaneously?
We'll go high when we're done.
Mm, you might get a flag for that.
Good.
Okay.
There's a penalty for everything.
Yeah, well.
Yeah. I will say, listen, I truly appreciate every single one of you. To the point where it's like a love situation. This is something that I enjoy doing, something that I crave doing, and the fact that we get some listeners at all is heartwarming to me. It means a lot to me, and I want to say thank you so much for another good year, and I'm looking forward to next year to see what changes we can make. Hopefully, you know, in the positive, obviously. You got to keep moving forward. I don't know what they'll be, but we mentioned a couple of things earlier in the show. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. And I just so appreciate those of you that do listen to our show. It really it does something. It really does something for my ego.
Well, that's good.
If we're being honest. If we're being honest. Yeah. Anyway, folks, I will also say Semper Fi, Double Dogs, I miss your mom, Duchess, sweetheart, it's about that time. And Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year.
The next time we talk to you, it'll be 2025, right?
Yes.
So, are we ready yet? How long is this song?
I
think we're just about ready. All right, folks, this song is In Spite of Ourselves, written by John Prine, but it's going to be performed by some of my besties, Paul and Jenny Hunley. Dig this. We'll see you next year. Love you.